This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby.
Is the number 12 pick starting to come into focus? It sure looks like it. I think we're going to get a receiver here in Dallas.
Oh, yeah? Even though Mel Kiper disagrees?
Yep. Look, I mean, Mel Kiper is starting to waffle a little bit. He continues to put Omarion Hampton on there. We did his mock draft. I think he came out last Tuesday.
It's a sexy pick.
It is. We talked about that. He said I was a little bit 50-50 on this. He changed. The first two times he was like, this is who I'm picking. This time he was a little like, they could go receiver here. They could go with Matthew Golden. He's not as big of a fan of Tetrarolle McMillan from Arizona. But I think we could be heading that direction. Real quick, it is our staple draft event this Thursday with you, the Tolo. Draft 101 in our fan showroom, 4131 North Central Expressway in Dallas. So we're going to have Brian Broaddus there, Zach Wolchuk, myself, if Zach will be willing to sit with me after 9:20. Yeah. I guess we'll just have to see. But you can join us for a night of draft talk, debate, and questions. Not only that, dinner on us thanks to Whataburger, plus plenty of giveaways, completely free. Cannot wait to see you guys for Draft 101 on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the Fan. No sign-up is required, and the doors open at 6:45. So show up, come hang out. We'll have a really good time. Okay, so the Dallas Cowboys, they typically go off of their 30-visit list. That is their history in general, is that they have picked somebody with their first pick that was off of their 30-visit list. And I'll explain what that is here in just a sec. That shifted in recent years with McCarthy. I don't know why, because McCarthy didn't necessarily have a... didn't always assert his influence here.
How heavy-handed was he in the draft?
He wasn't. I mean, this is something that was a discussion after he left, was that he felt he didn't have as much power as he should have. And the reality, I think, was he didn't know how much power he had that he just didn't use. It's like almost he thought it should have been spelled out for him. It's like, no, you carried a big stick in there and you just didn't know it.
Because he said he had more influence here than Green Bay.
Yeah, but he wanted to run it after a while. Like, see, that's the funny thing. When he interviewed for this position, he told the Giants, I think he interviewed with the Giants and the Jets separately. Were the only other two interviews he did before he got this job.
I would hope it wasn't one joint interview.
I mean, you never know. They share a lot. They share a facility. Giants. They might have just sat down and said, "Hey, let's do it together."
Woody and Joe Shane in the same room interviewing Mike.
So
glad you pointed that out.
When they interviewed them, he told them specifically, "I don't want to run personnel. I just want to coach football." And I think he told the Cowboys that too initially. And then I think early on he started getting more of a handle on it. And you get a little bit of taste of that power. You go, "Hey, you know what? I would like more control over this." I think, and I think that's what happened here. And he thought he should have had more. And it's like, I think you had the amount of power you wanted and you didn't always realize it, because they will listen to you. The Joneses will listen to you if you're a head coach and tell them, "Hey, this is what I think. This is what I want." And so I just don't think he ever wielded that influence. Now, the 30 visit list is basically during the pre-draft process, you can bring 30 national visitors in, quote unquote. Those 30 national visitors are players that are not from...
So excluding Dallas Day.
Just your metropolitan area. So if you went to college, high school, whatever else, in the DFW metropolitan area, in fact, it's a really wonky way that they measure it. They use a literal like U.S. Atlas map to measure it, and it changes year by year what counts. But generally, if you went to TCU, UNT, SMU, or you attended high school somewhere in here, basically anywhere you can hear us right now on the radio, if you lived there or went to school there, you can qualify as Dallas Day. The national visitors are people outside that. You can get 30 people here and you can run them through medical tests. You can have them do whiteboard work. You get really intimate, like detailed visits with them over the course of the entire day. So that's why you've seen guys like Texas receiver Matthew Golden posting pictures on Instagram with Jerry Jones, because he's out there. In fact, I'm pretty sure I was in Frisco the other day, that same day that he was there. The Cowboys bus was at a stoplight and went right before I was going. I'm pretty sure Golden would have been on that bus if he was here that day, or somebody else was. It was probably them getting driven back to the airport. But it's an important time, and the Cowboys typically have used that as like, hey, this is where we get to know things, and this is where we get to understand about guys. So it was something where this list right now is very heavily populated with a few different positions off of the reports that we've seen, but a lot of this is skill position players. So a lot of the names that we've heard so far, Tet McMillan from Arizona, the receiver, Matthew Golden, Texas, the receiver, Luther Burden, the Missouri receiver, the running backs, Omarion Hampton from North Carolina, Travion Henderson from Ohio State, Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State. It's clear that what they're looking at here is trenches and skill position, because it's all receivers, running backs, offensive and defensive line, other than one corner, Siobhan Revel from East Carolina, who tore his ACL. Cowboys probably want to do a medical check there. And then the other is Andrew Makuba from Texas, the safety, who, again, that may be a medical check, or because they're looking at some of these Texas players, because they brought in Kelvin Banks, the offensive lineman, Alfred Collins, defensive lineman, Matthew Golden, receiver. A lot of times they will bring somebody in to ask about somebody that they're thinking about. So, okay, you were a teammate. Tell me about your guy on the defensive line there in the defensive side of the ball, Alfred Collins. What did you think of him? Like, they use it almost as intel. In fact, there was a funny post recently. I want to say it was...
How overshown it up here, right?
I want to say it was actually Zach Martin recently had shared a post from one of his teammates, and the Cowboys, when they would bring you in, they used to take you to AT&T Stadium. I don't know if they still do that, but they'd bring you in there, and they'd throw a graphic up there on welcome so-and-so, and they'd have a big Cowboys logo, and it was just part of the whole presentation. And this teammate of Zach Martin's had his image up there, and he shared it to Instagram the other day, and he goes, throwback to when the Cowboys brought me in just so that they could find out a little more about Zach Martin. And Zach Martin reshared that. He's like, ah, come on. They liked you, buddy. Just don't just think it was that. But
I think that guy wound up getting drafted?
Late. Not by Dallas. I don't remember who it was, though. But I mean, it was somebody like late day three who had gotten taken. But they've used this before, where that's how they'll look at things. And so I think this is really coming down, the sense you're kind of getting out of the star right now, is that this is coming down to receiver. And that you're likely looking at, if they don't move, which we talked about at the end of last week, Tampa Bay GM Jason Light saying this is a draft where he doesn't anticipate people are going to go up. Like, if you're going to probably get a discounted rate to move back because nobody looks at it as like, I want to go up and get somebody, then I think what you're looking at is either Tet McMillan, wide receiver from Arizona, or Matthew Golden, wide receiver from Texas, who are two very different players.
Yeah, Golden's your explosive.
He is very much a... Still lacks a little bit of polish, but has a really high ceiling as a route runner. Incredibly fast. 4.29. It was the second fastest time by a receiver at the combine. He's somebody who moves really explosively laterally. It's just a matter of putting that all together. He's got really great balance and awareness on the sideline. McMillan is different. McMillan's a big kind of possession receiver, but moves really efficiently. So even though he runs a 4.55-ish, he is a natural, like, glider when you watch him in stride, and so you don't feel like you're watching a 4.55 guy.
What feedback have you gotten from Tolos, like with the draft shows or, you know, Twitter, social media, on the top two that they want and the one that they don't, like, terrified of Hampton?
So Hampton is a concern, I think, for people, just because they know that's a running back who's not Genty, which I think is fair. It is interesting that every time you look at the draft process, it's the influence of what we're doing with Draft 101 and things, and it's really the influence of Brian Broaddus and how long he's done this and how much he's done to educate people, that fans start really trust. So if Brian doesn't like somebody,
yeah,
typically the fans will not like somebody, which that's not, I think that's actually a good thing that Brian has that kind of influence and has built that sort of trust with listeners. But I think that because of that, Mykel Williams, the defensive end from Georgia, scares them. I think that when you look at the fact that there's a lot of people who don't love the idea of Luther Burden, who I don't think he'd go at 12 anymore, the receiver from Missouri, that's not really an option for them. I think that you've got some people who like Mike Green, the edge rusher from Marshall, and that's a guy that Brian really likes. So the influence is here. I'll say this. There was a time where everybody disliked Taco Charlton when he got picked, pretty much. Me too. But a lot of that was the pre-draft chatter that a lot of us had around the Cowboys community, who the evaluators who had watched him didn't like him. Similarly, there were a lot of evaluators who didn't like Tyler Smith. That's why people killed the Tyler Smith pick too initially, is because they heard they don't really like him. Brian doesn't really like him. You know, I hear, you know, David Hellman talking about him. Hellman doesn't seem to really like him. He's super raw. So I think there's got to be some... There's got to be some room to let these guys become who they're going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, they might be Taco, but they might be Tyler Smith. Or the Van Der Esch pick was hated right away. Van Der Esch played really great his rookie year. You're not as good of a defense in 2018, getting to the second round, going against
Rams
without
him. That was more position. Like the Cowboys. I know, but that was more like the Cowboys had just picked Zeke. They just picked the running back like 2 years prior.
Yeah, but he was still kind of a no-name.
He was on the no-name side, but we knew, like, we had heard his name prior to the draft.
Right.
But it was just like, you know, it's a linebacker after a running back. They looked behind on the positional value. He was very good.
He was fantastic. Injuries killed him. If not for injuries, Leighton Van Der Esch is absolutely a slam dunk pick. And I think that what you're going to see with the Cowboys, I would not be surprised if one of these offensive linemen slid down there. We asked Nick Harris at the end of last week when he came here to report on the Mavericks game as he went to the game for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
I thought that was to watch Bronny, he said.
Yeah, that too. But we had asked him, like, hey, who's your surprise pick that you would say, this is somebody we're not really talking about, like a Tyler Smith was or like a Mozzie Smith was. And Armon Membu, the tackle from Missouri, was his answer. And I still think if there's somebody in the trenches that could slide to them, that would make a lot of sense on the offensive line side. If Will Campbell got down there, if they like Membu a lot and he's able to go down there. I think there was a time Kelvin Banks from Texas was high on this list. I don't know if he still is, but a couple months ago, I would have thought, yeah, that's somebody who absolutely could be in contention for them when they pick it at 12 or if they go and decide to trade back. But they've got a lot of different options here. I think that ultimately the value is going to be at receiver, and so they're going to go that way. We keep hearing Steven talk about number two or that they need a number two receiver. That's a high priority. Steven Jones actually going to be on the station this week. Let me check the text there from Alec Medford. But he's going to be on the station on Tuesday at 11:30. So tomorrow at 11:30, we'll hear from Steven Jones. And I would imagine we'll get an announcement this week on a pre-draft press conference. It's a little surprising we haven't heard from one yet. But I think we're going to start feeling over the next week a little bit of clarity. And I think that clarity is going to start focusing around McMillan and Golden and getting the number two receiver.
And Dane Brugler back on the station Wednesday at 4 p.m. with the G-Bag Nation.
Always getting our seconds, whether it's our raps or our guests, I guess, you know.
9:20. Will this finally end the battle between Bobby and the nosebleeds? 9:20 this morning after we figure out if you were rooting for Rory or not. How awesome was that Master Sunday? Next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.